to have a special class on how to make the most of your time at Machon Meir. And we're going to make believe that this class is for these guys. But I got news for you. Everyone could learn from it, me included. So let's start with a few basic concepts. What are you trying to get out of your time here? What do you want to accomplish here at Machon Meir? Good evening, Menachem. Hailing in. Yes. You guys all know Menachem? Now you know Menachem. This is Yaakov Schultz and Meir Tuito. Yaakov's from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Meir is from Israel and currently the UK. This is Yisrael from the Philippines, and this is Menachem. I just review so I try to remember. Okay, so what are you trying to accomplish here at Machon Meir? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm asking you a real question, because if we set goals, we might actually accomplish them. So let's ask ourselves, what do we want to accomplish? We don't always know what goals to set, but we should have some kind of picture of what we want to accomplish. We have a whole wonderful year ahead of us. Some of you are going to be here for a month or 4 months or 6 months or 8 months. I got news for you. One day, you're going to have a child on your shoulders. You're going to be walking down the street, and the kid's going to ask you a question. And you're going to want to know the answer. And they're going to ask you a question like, how long ago did the Chafetz Chaim live? And did the Chafetz Chaim know the Rambam? And can you make Havdalah on milk? They're going to ask you these simple questions like, Abba, am I allowed to build a tent on Shabbat? You want to know the answer. You're going to go camping with your kid, and your kid's going to say, Dad, how'd they manage in the desert? If we're not allowed to move the fire here, then how did they manage for 40 years in the desert? They're going to ask some really good questions, and they're going to ask a question like, why did Hashem create death? It's a good question. So you want to know some answers, I think. Yeah. Methinks you want to know some answers. So we have a Thursday night class where you could ask whatever you want. We also have, throughout the week, you have classes, not only my class, you have many classes that address many different aspects of Jewish life. What are our goals here? So help me out, guys. What are your goals? I'm asking you a question. He says tshuva. You're for conversion. Okay, and the rest of us, what are we here? What are we doing here? Okay, I just want to know more about Judaism. That's good. Yeah, same thing. Okay.
Preparing ourselves for Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, so he's preparing himself for Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. You have something to add? I can't hear you.
To raise a family.
Okay. You have anything to add? Okay, so, yeah.
I want to learn more Gemara, but I also want to learn more about Yiddishkeit.
Good.
I've learned a lot since I've been here. Who came a year before I came here, I came to Baal Teshuva.
Very nice. You have something to add, Menachem? What? Okay, so you said character development. Now I'd like to break down what you're going to accomplish here into a few types of learning. Okay? There is knowledge. So I give examples of knowledge. You want to know. You want to understand, how did the Karaite movement begin? You want to understand, why don't we accept the Karaite movement? You want to know the difference between the Sadducees, Baitusees, Karaites, and what is Orthodox Judaism? What is our tradition? What's going on here? What makes it true? What makes it right? How does it work and how does it tick? You want to know, you want to understand, you want to know what it says in the five books of the Torah. And when someone tells you, I was talking to Rav Micha tonight, and he said to me, he quoted a verse, and he said, that's in my book. I said, your book? You wrote a book? So he said, one of the prophets is called Micha. And in that book it says this verse. I said, oh, okay, so that's in your book. And I understood. You want to know that there's a prophet named Micha, and you want to know the verses. So there's information. Okay, there's, you want to know. You just want to know. You want to. Then there's the skills you want to acquire, which is different than information. It can be the knowledge of Hebrew. It could be how to learn Torah. It can be how to learn Talmud. It can be many different skills, how to raise a good Jewish family. So there's knowledge, there's skills. I would say there are a few more areas. If Menachem discussed character development, which is a very important component, I would also say familiarity with the Jewish way of life. meaning you want to become comfortable. One of the great assets you get from Machon Meir is you live a Jewish lifestyle here. So that if people are in the conversion process, for example, and they spend 10 months here, they come into the conversion process having experienced Jewish life, not just learning about it. And the same is true for everyone here. It's a phenomenal experience to be here. One of the ways you can grow from being here is to daven here. Davening in the Machon is an opportunity. I don't know of another shul that davens so slowly. It gives you a chance to actually go at your pace. It's an opportunity. The singing Friday night, the atmosphere. I understand that sometimes you don't have patience for it, and that's fine. But remember, there's an opportunity here. I think you should set your sights on also creating friendships. I think those students who retain friendships, they get much more out of Machon Meir, and I think it's an opportunity. I think you can develop a connection to the land of Israel, which means you have to go on trips. I don't think you can just develop that connection. This Rav Listman pointed out to me many years ago. We had a student who was here who said, I've been studying here for 2 years and I feel no connection to the land of Israel. So we're in the middle of a conversation, and back then we already had cell phones. So I called Rav Listman, we were walking down on Meiri Street. I said, what do you suggest? This is a top student. And he's saying, he doesn't feel connection. And Rav Listman said, well, he doesn't come on any of our trips. How could you feel connection if you're not living the land? He has to come and experience the trips the Machon goes on. So that's another great thing you can acquire here at Machon Meir, go on the trips and learn about the communities and connect to the land. That's another tremendous accomplishment you can have here at the Machon. I think another thing you guys can acquire here at the Machon is a connection to Israeli people. Israeli. As in, when you go down to the lunchroom, don't just sit in your clique of English speakers. When you choose a room, don't just take the pish-posh American rooms or English speaker rooms. Try to get in with the Israelis, develop connections, take up their invitations for a Shabbos meal, connect. It's a tremendous asset. If you walk out of Machon Meir and you only know the English speakers, you lost. You lost a tremendous amount of what you could have gotten out of Machon Meir. Connect to the other guys around you. Get to know them a little bit. Make friendships, go on trips together, play ball together. You know, there used to be a Friday soccer game, frisbee game. There used to be all kinds of sports games that guys play here. I don't know what's going on this year. Find out and become a part of it. I'm not talking about the one sports day at the end of the year. I'm talking about one a week. And finally, I think one of the things you should hopefully get out of the Machon is also a connection to rabbis. And the rabbis at the Machon are accessible. We have one-on-one time. And we're happy to be there for you. We're limited. I mean, we do, Baruch Shem, have each rabbi here has hundreds and maybe even thousands of students. So that means our time is limited. But nonetheless, we're not only open, we're very happy to develop a personal connection with the students, and we actually dedicate time to that. So that's something for you guys to take advantage, see which rabbi you feel comfortable with, and work with them. Now, once upon a time they had these things. They're called notebooks, okay, notepads. And then they also had one of these things. They're called pens.
Now you have iPad,
okay?
iPad.
Now, what you can do with it is actually write without a screen, right? Can write notes. Now something phenomenal happens between the pen and the mind. When you write, you retain things. The Ben Ish Chai wrote that to write notes is the equivalent of reviewing something 3 or 4 times. So taking notes is a very positive thing to retain, to force us to process the information, and also it gives us something to review at the end of the week. If I'll ask you at the end of the week what we learned this week, I think you'll have a very hard time remembering, because you cover a ton of information. And if you write short notes in each class, at the end you have something to review, and then you end up retaining so much more. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Eruvin that that's one of the keys to retaining what you learn. Review. I would recommend that you try to set yourself up a schedule and go over the schedule with either your Talmud rabbi, your morning rabbi, a rabbi you feel comfortable with, because very often a rabbi can point out to you a small way in which you tweak your schedule, and it could change, it can make all your learning more pleasurable or more worthwhile. a kid came to our house last week or the week before. And now this is a kid who just became bar mitzvah. And he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to learn. And he's spending his whole vacation learning. So we sat down to talk. And one of the things I told him is, don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're a kid. How are you going to enjoy your learning if you're zonked all day? And then I said to him, he said, you know, I'm working on loving my Torah. I said, loving your Torah isn't something you should work on. It's a product of learning the right way. When you feel accomplishment, when you feel resonance and connection, then you'll love your learning. You can't work on loving something. That's not going to work. But why don't we try tweaking your schedule and working with what you enjoy learning, and then you'll see that you connect to the Torah truthfully. You will. It'll just happen. And suddenly, his learning became much more pleasurable. So, sometimes good intentions aren't enough. It's a good idea to speak to someone who has experience who could help you in formulating and building a game plan. I would recommend you try to set yourself a goal. I want to give a few examples of things you might want to think about. Number one, do you have a picture of Jewish history? In the classes here, we learn a little bit of Jewish history, but what you might want to do during your free time is we have very good books downstairs on Jewish history. Read a little bit. Understand. Read biographies. Don't believe everything they tell you. Biographies make people into saints. That's their job. If they don't do that, they don't get published. They say they're heretics. But that makes it that you can't really believe everything it says in biographies. You read them with a grain of salt, but they're still inspiring. They're still important stories told there. You guys know the story of the Chafetz Chaim? Yeah, there was a story where the Chafetz Chaim was in court, and when he came to protect a student of his, so the lawyer introduced the Chafetz Chaim. First of all, who was the Chafetz Chaim? So, 100 years ago in the city of Radin, there was a man named Rav Yisrael Meir. Rav Yisrael Meir in the city of Radin was orphaned as a child. His mother remarried, and then his stepdad pressured him to marry his daughter. And he did. And he grew up to be the Chafetz Chaim. He wrote a book, correct. He wrote a book called the Chafetz Chaim in Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah is about the daily laws. It's a compendium. It's like an encyclopedia. He wrote the book called Chafetz Chaim, which we study here, which is about the laws of guarding our tongue, not saying something that might be hurtful or slanderous of someone else. It's interesting you could write a whole book about it. There's a lot to discuss about that, how to be careful in our speech. And he became famous, world-renowned. When he passed away in the 30s, the New York Times wrote an obituary about him. So he was a very, very big, both pious and wise person. So why did I quote him? What was I about to say from the Chafetz Chaim? Yes, so Chafetz Chaim was being introduced in court. And by the way, an interesting thing his son writes about him is that when he was in his early 20s, he started having headaches. He was learning so intently, like I don't know how many hours straight, 6-7 hours straight, that his mind started going on him. And he reached a point where he couldn't concentrate on anything. He couldn't learn. And then he reached a point where he couldn't even daven. He couldn't concentrate on anything. And he spent 2 years with this intense fatigue. His son writes about him, that he spent 2 years with mental fatigue, that he couldn't even daven. That's how wiped he was. And they didn't know if he'd ever come out of it. And he kept asking Hashem, help me get out of this. But he didn't. The doctors weren't sure they had a way out. And finally he got out of it. And his son records that from that day onward, whenever he would learn, he wouldn't allow himself to put himself out. After 3 or 4 hours of intense learning, he'd have to take a break. He wouldn't learn more than 3 or 4 hours straight in order to not cause himself to have a relapse. But he had to deal with that. Right? That means we read about these giants. We have to know they had hardships in their life. So coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, he was introduced in court. And the lawyer says to the judge, he says, you know who this man is? Let me tell you what the story they tell about this man as he's introducing Chafetz Chaim. He says, the story they tell about this man is that he once looked out into his yard and he saw someone who was stealing fruits from his tree. So he ran out of the yard, out into the yard, and the thief is picking, and he runs after the thief and he says, it's yours, I don't want you to transgress as a thief, it's yours. So the judge looks at the lawyer and he says, you believe that story? So the lawyer says, look, I'll tell you the truth. I really don't know if to believe that story or not. But I know they don't tell that story about you or me. So the story tells us something about who we're about to hear. So when you read biographies, that's the attitude. I don't know if every story is as accurate as it's written in the biography, but the story teaches us about the person's personality. To what degree is a good question, but it gives us direction and it inspires us how to be kind, good people. So biographies are a good thing to do in our free time. I would also recommend you get to learn the calendar, the Hebrew calendar. We're coming up to a bunch of holidays, right? In 25 days, we're going to have Rosh Hashanah. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur. 5 days after Yom Kippur, we have Sukkot. We have 8 days of Sukkot. And then at the end, we have Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. We should know the calendar. How far from Sukkot is Hanukkah? 2 months, 5 months, 8 months? Where's Purim on the calendar? Where's Pesach on the calendar? We should start living the Jewish calendar. I would recommend get used to writing the Hebrew date on your pages. Yeah, on my checks, I write the Hebrew date. I love it. I live in a Jewish country. I could write the Hebrew date. Legally, you're allowed to write the Hebrew date on your checks. I write the Hebrew date on my checks. So why shouldn't I? Finally, I live in a country that's mine. I use my calendar, our calendar. So it's a good idea to start familiarizing ourselves with the calendar, with blessings. You finish drinking, you want to make a Borei Nefashos, take the time in the next month to learn Borei Nefashos by heart. You use the facilities, we make a blessing Asher Yotzar. It's a good idea to learn that by heart. So we should try to set ourselves simple goals and work on those in our free time. Not only our major goals, our informational goals. I do recommend get yourself some kind of notepad so you can take notes, so you can review. You can set yourself also goals. I can tell you that I have at home maybe 50, 80 pages. And each page has 30 lines or 28 lines. And each page has running down, I would write myself a schedule. The days of the week, the days of the month, and then I'd write what I wanted to accomplish at which hour. And I'd fill it in every day. And that way I had a schedule. When you know what you want to accomplish during a set time, you actually accomplish it. When you don't have a schedule, when you don't have goals, so then the time goes by and it's been a nice time at the machon. But if you know what you're doing, I'll tell you a small example of that. I used to finish class here on Friday and go home and buy challahs for Shabbos. And the store where I bought the challahs was three houses down from where we lived. But there was a nice long line on Fridays. So I had one sefer, the Medrash Psuk Ted Rav Kahana, that the only time I learned that book was online to buy challahs every Friday. Slowly I moved forward in the book. But because I knew what I was doing during that line, I knew there was one book I was reading online. There's a book which I learned going to weddings. I set it up that when I go to weddings, I read Maimonides' letters. So whenever I'd go to a wedding, I'd go to the shelf, take Maimonides' letters, and that was my reading, because it's pleasurable reading, it's enjoyable. So at a wedding, you need something that'll grab your attention, otherwise it's going to be hard to learn. So that's when I read Maimonides' letters at people's weddings. When something's defined, when you set up for yourself a system, so then you could utilize your time much better. And it's a good idea to get into habits, into systems that help us. So now, with that brief introduction, I leave you guys to think about implementation. There is no one goal at the Machon, because there's no one point at which students enter. People come on different levels. Don't compare yourself to the next guy, okay? You can be soaring, flying high, and yet the next guy knows more than you. Big deal, he has a different background, he has a different head. Don't compare yourself to the next guy, and don't criticize the next guy. Just because he doesn't know what you know doesn't mean he needs to hear it from you. So he might be making mistakes, don't hurt him. You think you're helping him? Most of the time you're not. None of us grow from criticism. It's very hard to grow from criticism. So let people grow at their own pace. We're big believers that Mechon Meir, live and let live. I'll tell you a quick story. It was the night of Yom Kippur, about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I was standing right back there next to that pole, opposite the door. And a new student comes over to me. We had just finished Arvit Friday night, the night services of Yom Kippur. And he says, "Rabbi, that was amazing." I said, "Yeah, I'm happy you enjoyed it." And he says, "Yeah, where can I catch a cab?" I said, "What do you mean?" So he said, well, I had a nice Yom Kippur service, and now I want to go to Tel Aviv. I said, you serious? He goes, yeah, never mind. I'll find my own cab. So I stood there dumbstruck. I'd been teaching it for 6 years or something, I don't know, but it was the first time someone came to me on Yom Kippur night and asked for a taxi to go to Tel Aviv. That hadn't happened before. And Rav Listman was standing there and he saw the look on my face and he said, what do you want? It's his first time ever doing Yom Kippur. For him it was a big deal staying in shul at night, Yom Kippur. Leave him, fine, next year I'll daven the whole Yom Kippur. This year, that's where he's holding, leave him alone. You know, and I just stood there, I couldn't move, right? It was the first time someone asked me for a taxi on Yom Kippur. So, I'm saying our approach at Machon Meir is let each person grow at their pace. You know, we don't look at a student and say, hey, why aren't you holding here yet? No, every student has to grow based on where they're coming from, where they're headed to. At their pace, there's no pressure. On the contrary, we beg you not to pressure one another, not to criticize one another. Let people live freely and happily with one another, and respectfully with one another. Okay, let's begin.